Chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. The text for the sermon this morning is verses 22 through 24, the word of God to wives and their calling to submit to their husbands. We'll read the entire chapter this morning. This is the word of God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Thus far we read the holy and inspired Word of God. I call your attention this morning to verses 22 through 24 of Ephesians 5, where God says to us, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon this morning is directed specifically to those of us sitting here this morning who are wives. The main word of God to you as a wife in the church is that you are to submit to your husbands. You are to do that just as the church submits to her head, the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached this sermon this morning as a follow-up to the sermon that I preached the last time that we witnessed the sacrament of baptism. The last time that we had baptism, I addressed the husbands in the congregation who have as their main calling, as it is laid out in Ephesians chapter 5, to love their wives. As a follow-up to that sermon, now from the Word of God, we address the calling that wives have to their husbands, the Word of God, to submit to them. I preach this at the occasion of baptism because we need to understand the important place that how we live in our marriages has upon the children that God has given to us in our homes. We must teach our children. We all who have children baptized in the church made that vow. These parents this morning made that vow to teach their children the things of the Word of God. We need to teach them by the specific words that we say to them, explicitly bringing to them the Word of God. But one of the ways in which we teach our children as well is by the way in which we live, in the example that we show to them. And we need to teach our children, especially the calling that all of us have as the children of God, to submit to God, to submit in all things to Jesus Christ. And one of the most powerful ways in which we teach that to our children is when wives in the home, in everything, submit to their husbands. In obedience to the Word of God, wives, submit to your husbands. For the sake of the children that God has given you, wives, submit to your husbands. It's that Word of God we consider this morning, the calling of wives to submit to their husbands. We consider in the first place the command itself. And then let's look at the reason for that command laid out in verses 23 and 24. And then in the third place, let's see the extent, as it is said in the very last words of the text. Wives, submit to your husbands, the command, the reason, and then the extent. It goes without saying, people of God, that this is not a very popular word in the world and even in the church today. This is a word with respect to which women in the world today scoff at and rebel against. God says in the Scriptures, submit. And the world says, I want nothing to do with the idea of submission to husbands in marriage. As believers committed to the inspired Scriptures, you as wives must be zealous in your obedience to all of the Word of God, and in your obedience to this particular Word of God to submit to your husbands. The world scoffs at this, but the reality is that our sinful natures do as well. And there's a part in each one of us who stand before the God of the Scriptures in which we know that we are prone by nature to rebel against the things of God. And that's true for you as wives with respect to this calling to submit to your husbands. But we're faced with the Word of God this morning, and it's a clear Word of God. This is your primary calling as wives in your relationship to your husbands. Your primary calling is to submit to your husbands. And it may be the case that in a powerful way, the Spirit of God, through the Word that is brought this morning, convicts us of sin. It's true every time the Word of God is brought. Nobody is perfect anytime the Word of God is brought in any particular area. And so that must be the case for all of us as wives this morning, that we reflect upon our lives as wives in light of this Word of God, that we are led to examine ourselves and led to repentance as well. And especially if there has been a hardened heart in this regard, where there is no submission in marriage, so that God has used this Word this morning to lead us to confess sin to God and to confess sins to our husband as well, when it has been apparent that there has been no submission in marriage. This is the Word of God. It's not the word of a man. This is the Word of God. Wives, submit to your husbands. I say it with that strength because this is the primary calling that comes to wives. Even before the calling to love your husband is this calling to submit to your husband. Now, love is an incredibly important part of marriage for wives. In fact, you can't separate these two, love and submission. The reality is that in the way of submitting, that is the expression of love in marriage. But let me demonstrate that from the Word of God, that in all of the New Testament passages that specifically speak to wives, the main word is submit. We have it, of course, here in Ephesians chapter 5. The first time wives are mentioned, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Another example is Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. The other example is 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, the first six verses. And I'll take the time to read these six verses right now because it speaks explicitly and explains even more fully submission. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's the idea of submission. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. The main word there, like the other passage, is submit. And then one more passage is 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. We'll come back to this chapter in the second point of the sermon, but I'll read just verse 3 right now. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. It doesn't explicitly say submit, but it explicitly says the head of the woman is the man. And implied in that headship, of course, is submission. So the question we face now, though, is what does that mean? It's clear that that is the main calling that comes to you as wives, but now the question is what does that explicitly mean? The Word of God, when it says submit to your husbands, means that you as wives are called willingly to place yourself under the authority and the headship of your husband. The word submit in the text literally refers to put under. That is the main basic idea of submission. And that implies that there is one who is over. Submission is an attitude of the heart And that's important. Submission is not something, first of all, that is outward. Submission is, first of all, something that is inward. It's an attitude. It's a view on your relationship. And the idea is that in your marriage relationship, when you submit, you are willingly placing yourself under the authority and the headship of your husband. You are not rebelling against this God-ordained order in marriage. You are not scoffing at this God-ordained order in marriage, but you say in submission to God first, and then to your husband, I am under His headship and His authority in the marriage relationship. What we do in submission is the same as what takes place with respect to other relationships. Submission and headship is not only found in marriage, but it's found in many different relationships, and the Bible makes that clear. What we all do, for example, in the church, with respect to the elders and the office bearers in the church, is what a wife does to a husband in marriage. As members of the church, we are under the headship, the rule, the authority of the office bearers. And when we submit to them, what we are doing in our heart is saying, I know that to be the case. They are in that position of headship and leadership. I acknowledge that. I place myself under that. I honor them in that position. Romans 13. What all men are called to do with respect to the government, which is in a position of authority over us. We submit in our hearts to them. This will be revealed in a certain attitude and in a certain walk in our marriages. If we truly are, as wives, submitting to our husbands, it will show itself very, very clearly. In the first place, it will be evident in the way in which you speak about your husband. If you, as wives, are submitting to your husband, the way in which you speak about them will be with honor and with respect. Because that honor and respect that you speak about your husband with indicates the honor and the respect that you have for your husband that is in your hearts, which is the heart of submission. We need to be very careful as wives how we speak about our husbands. And this is just as true for husbands to wives. Of course it is. In the calling to love your wives. But this morning, we're addressing specifically wives from the Word of God. How do you speak about the husband that God has given you? When you get together with your friends for coffee, let it not be an hour of complaining about your husbands. How you speak must reveal the attitude of your heart, so that the way in which you speak about your husbands is one with respect and honor because he is your head in the marriage relationship. Especially is this true as it relates to the children that God has given to you. What damage that does to children when parents, one of them speaks in an evil, degrading way to their children about their spouse. What damage that does as wives when you speak to your children in such a way that they know that in your heart this isn't your attitude toward the husband that God has given to you. The damage is not only that they don't have a good example of what it means to submit, but also this, they don't have the example of what it means for them to submit to Christ. And that's our concern here, as we'll get to in the second point of the sermon. The way in which we speak about our husbands to other people, and particularly to our children, must reveal that in marriage we view ourselves willingly in this position underneath the headship and authority of our husbands. In the second place, this will reveal itself in willingly putting yourself in that position so that your husband is able to lead and be the head that he is called to be. Submission implies headship. And let's assume that a husband in the home is faithful to his calling to be a head. When a husband in the home is faithful to that calling to be a head, striving to exercise that headship, submission reveals itself in putting yourself under that headship and letting, so to speak, your husband lead in that relationship. I'll give you a couple of examples. A husband is called to be a head, especially with respect to the spiritual life of the home and the marriage. A godly husband who is faithful to his calling as a head over his wife sees that calling primarily in this respect. I must bring to my wife the Word of God. I must explain to my wife the Word of God. I must apply to my wife the Word of God. I must pray with my wife concerning the Word of God. A wife who submits sits under that headship of her husband and receives that Word of God from her husband, understanding He is my head. He is called to do this. And therefore, I willingly submit to what He is doing as the head of me in marriage. Another example would be finances. As head of the home, you as husbands have the calling to oversee the financial situation in your home. That's why when deacons work with families, the deacons work with husbands and wives together, but primarily it's a work with husbands because headship reveals itself in this way. Well, if that is the case, a wife submits by understanding that and being willing in letting the husband lead in that respect in the home. Not rebelling against headship in that respect. Not wanting to have complete control to the ignorance of the husband because that's your nature. But it's this. I understand his place. I don't rebel against it. But in my heart I submit, and it shows in my willingness to let my husband lead as the head of the home. In the third place, submission in the marriage relationship reveals itself in obedience. And now we need to be very, very clear here. There is a difference between submission and obedience. Submission is an attitude of the heart in which you honor and respect the one who is over you, in this case, husband, in the church elders, in the world, the government authorities. Obedience are actions. Obedience is doing the word of others. Submission reveals itself in obedience in all lawful things. This is not without exception that a wife obeys the word of her husband. It cannot be without exception because a wife understands that her husband is not sinless. The word of the apostles in Acts applies here. We ought to obey God rather than man. If a husband says to a wife, you need to do something, and the wife clearly knows it's contrary to the word of God, it must not be obedience there. Submission still, always submission, but not obedience. Nevertheless, a submissive heart does reveal itself in obedience in lawful things. Our relationship to the government illustrates this very clearly. We're called to submit to the government. We're called to honor those who are in authority over us in the government. That's an attitude of our heart. Are we truly being submissive to the government in our hearts when the government says, pay your taxes, and we don't pay our taxes, a lawful thing according to the Word of God? And the answer to that is no. If we don't pay our taxes in obedience to the Word of God, we are not in our hearts, submitting to the authority that is over us. Same thing in marriage. Submission reveals itself in obedience and lawful things. Husband is the head, and there are times when the word of the husband must be followed. I'll give you another example. It can be the example of dress. As a husband, one of the responsibilities that you have is to see to it that the people in your home are dressing modestly. That's a serious responsibility in the day and age in which we live, where there's so much immodest dress that brings shame upon who we are as Christians when we dress like the world. But if a wife comes home from the store and has an outfit for Sunday, and you look at it as a husband and as a man, you understand that that's not appropriate. She may not even understand it, but as a man, you do. It's simply not appropriate. And so in a loving way, you say, that's something that you are not going to wear to church because it's not modest. As a wife, there's a calling to obey in that respect, not rebel against that word of God through the wise word of a husband. Submission reveals itself in lawful things, in obedience. The seriousness of this word of God is found in the phrase that comes right after the main calling to submit. It says in the text, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." As unto the Lord. And now there are two ways to look at that. One way is to look at it in light of the parallel that is made in the passage. Just as you submit to the Lord, as you're called to do as wives, so also submit to your husbands. I prefer to look at it from a different point of view, and that is that in your submission to your husbands, you do that in the service of the name of God. You do it unto the Lord. You do it with the end of serving your Lord Jesus Christ. There's another passage that uses this exact same phrase, and that is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, where Paul says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." He summarizes everything that he said in that passage, part of which was the word of wives to submit and the word to husbands to love. But he gets to the end and he says, look at your entire life, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And the idea is that no matter what you do, eating, drinking, entertainment, life in all of your relations, do it in the service of God and not unto men. And that's the idea of this text. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, with an eye on your serving Jesus Christ. Submit to your husbands. And that indicates the seriousness of this. Because in your marriage relationship, this is the way in which you show forth your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you submit to your husbands, by that act, you are saying, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I am doing this not for men, but I am doing this because I desire in my relationship to my husband to show my love for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to your husbands in your service, and in your love for Christ. The apostle gives good reason for you as wives to submit to your husbands. And the reason is found in verse 23 and verse 24. Really, there's two interrelated reasons for the calling to submit to husbands. And both of them are revealed in these two verses. The main reason, as it's stated right at the beginning of verse 23, is that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And both of the reasons are laid out right there. The husband is the head of the wife. That's why a wife submits. And the even deeper reason is that Christ is the head of the church. And the marriage relationship is but a picture of that. And therefore, the wife is called to submit. The reason, very simply, is because of headship. You don't submit unless in that relationship there is one who is head, one who is over. And that's what verses 23 and 24 make clear. In the marriage relationship, the one who is the head in that relationship is the husband. As verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." This was God's institution of marriage from the very beginning. God, right at the beginning, when He ordained the institution of marriage, did so in such a way that this relationship between husband and wife is that of headship and submission. And I'd like to demonstrate that from a couple of passages. And that is, in the first place, 1 Corinthians 11 again. I said earlier that we'll come back to this passage, and we do so now. The point with this is that headship is grounded in the very work of God to create men and women, man and woman, and bring them together in marriage. 1 Corinthians 11 begins in verse 3. This entire section is applicable, but let's start with verse 3, which I read earlier. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And now look at verses 8 and 9. "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." How did God create the woman in the beginning? He created the man first, and out of him He created the woman. And in that act of God, there is revealed this truth concerning marriage, which is headship and submission. The second passage is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And now here, the application is not specifically to marriage. The application is to headship in the church. And in the church, that reveals itself in men being placed in the offices in the church. And again, the point with this is that this goes back to the creation of Adam and Eve. Verse 13. Verse 12, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And then, "grounded in God's work of creation, for Adam was first formed, then Eve." Husbands are head in marriages, according to God's divine institution of marriage. Now, when we think about headship, what we must not do is think that in any way, shape, or form, that means that a husband is able, with an iron fist, to rule in a tyrannical way in the marriage relationship. That is not headship. Headship is authority. Headship is rule. Headship is being over another, certainly. But not in that sense whatsoever. And never must a husband in the marriage relationship or an elder in the church say that they can do whatever they want because they are the head in that relationship. The Bible says nothing of that sort. In fact, it's just the opposite. From a position of headship, with that rule and authority in the relationship, it is to be exercised for the good of those who are under them. And the Bible makes that clear in this passage too. Look at what it says concerning Christ. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And this is what Jesus Christ did as head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church. He has all rule and authority over the church. But what did Jesus Christ do for the head of, as the head of His church? He saved His body. And that was a salvation, not from something of this world. That was a salvation from what we need salvation from most, which is sin and death and all of the enemies that seek to destroy us. Jesus Christ loved the bride that was under Him, loved that bride so much that He came to this earth and died on that cross for His bride, and saves that bride in such a way that that bride has life. And now He's in heaven, and He's still head of that church, and He's still working as head for the Savior, as the Savior of His body and His love for His people. That's what Christ did as head of His bride, the church. Headship is authority and rule with an eye on the good and the salvation of those who are under the head. And that's true in marriage as well. Husbands, you are heads according to God's institution of marriage, but it's not tyrannical. It's not with an iron fist. It's over your wife with an eye on her salvation and her good. But it's that headship, wives, that men have according to the Word of God that leads you in obedience to God first, to submit to your husband. The deeper reason is what is revealed in this passage as well, and that is that Christ is the head of the church. And then verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." The deeper reason is the picture that marriage is of Christ and His church. And I'm not going to take the time this morning to very clearly and more fully explain how the Bible teaches that relationship between the two. I'm not going to do that because I did that the last time when I preached on Ephesians 5:25. But the Bible, from the very beginning to the end, teaches us that Christ in His relationship to His church is this: marriage. Marriage. God gives us marriage so that in the marriage relationship we see very clearly what Christ is to His bride, the church, and what the bride must be to Christ as the head. In our relationship to Jesus Christ, our head is Christ. He's the head over all things. Ephesians 1:22 teaches, but in a special way, He is head over His bride, His elect church. And God wants us in our marriages to show forth that relationship between Christ and His church, so that when people see your marriage, they see Christ and they see the church, the real marriage according to the Word of God. And it is for that reason especially that you as wives submit to your husbands. You submit to your husbands because you know that this relationship that I am in has as its main purpose, and so easily we lose sight of that, its main purpose, not my joy and fulfillment, but the glory of God. And God teaches us in His Word that He is glorified when a husband loves his wife as Christ loved His bride, and when a bride submits to her husband as the church submits Christ. And that is why we will do this as wives. Why else would we do this? Why else, when you hear a sermon on submission, would you say, "I love this Word of God and I love obeying this Word of God," when the entire world scoffs at this idea of submission in marriage? Why would you do that? You would do that because you know Christ's love for His people and His people's responsibility towards Christ. And you say in response to that, I love that most. And I strive to be faithful to the Word of God. And I want in my marriage to show the real marriage between Christ and His church. And this is how it's shown, in an attitude and a heart of submission to my husband. And God says to do that in everything. The extent to the command is very clear. At the end of verse 24, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And now what is reiterated to us from this point is the difference between submission and obedience. It does not say obey in everything. Emphatically, does it not say obey in everything? There are things concerning which we must not obey if it's contrary to the Word of God. But it does say this, in everything, submit. And this is where it's only by the grace of God and only out of love for God first that we obey this word as wives. Because every wife here knows that when she looks at her husband, she is looking at a sinner. She is looking at a sinner who, on account of that sin, does not make himself worthy of being submitted to as her husband. And the devil will use that in your heart and mind, women, powerfully. Look at what he did. Look at his weaknesses. Look at how he doesn't carry out his calling as a head as he is called to. Look at how he hurt you. Don't submit. He doesn't deserve to be submitted to. The devil will use that in order to lead you away from this Word of God. But God's Word is clear and God's Word is sharp. In everything, submit. At all times, no matter the sin, no matter what has taken place, in your heart, there must be honor and respect to your husband as your head in your marriage. Just as the church, in everything, is to submit to Christ. If we pick and choose in marriage when and when we don't want to submit, what would stop our children when they see that? To say to you as mom, well, mom, you chose when you were going to submit and when you weren't going to submit based on circumstances. Well, I'm going to do the same thing in my relationship to Christ. I don't want to submit right now. Maybe I will at another time, but not right now. What would stop them from making that argument? Why submit? Because we are called to submit to Jesus Christ in all things at all times. And that must be reflected in the attitude of our hearts towards our wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Submit to your husbands out of your love for Jesus Christ. Submit to your husbands out of a desire that your marriage picture clearly the marriage between Christ and His church. Submit to your husbands in order to teach your children the calling that they have in everything to submit to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And do so with the hope that there is blessing from God upon the marriage in which there is headship and submission. Willingly putting yourself under, capably taking upon themselves the role of being a head, doing so for the welfare of the children. That is a marriage in which there is the blessing of God and peace. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. And we thank Thee for this Word in particular, a Word concerning marriage. And we pray Heavenly Father, that Thou wilt work in us Thy Spirit so that when we read the Scriptures, we are desirous to be faithful to them in all things, and especially in the area of marriage and what it means for wives, out of love for Thee, out of a desire to be faithful to the picture that marriage is in their submission to their husbands. Forgive sin, Father. Forgive all of our sin in the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.